Hi, and welcome to the podcast for the July and August issue of the Audio Engineering Society Journal. I'm Dr. Agnieszka Roginska. In this month's journal, you'll find research papers dealing with loudspeaker parameters, room impulse response evaluation, spectral delay filters, and dynamic range compression. There's a report on the 126th Convention, which took place earlier this year in Munich, and a preview of the 127th Convention coming up soon in New York, to which I would personally like to invite you. This month's Back of the Book article explores some DTV audio myths. How to measure and parameterize the mechanical characteristics of loudspeakers is the theme of a paper by Wolfgang Klippel and Joachim Schlechter. They show how a lumped parameter model of a loudspeaker driver can be enhanced by parameters relating to surface vibration. Surface modeling considers multiple points on the surface and the way in which they each contribute to the sound pressure at a receiving point. The authors explain how to go about measuring and representing these points on various driver element surfaces using a grid of about 100 points. In last month's journal, Martin Custer described an approach to the creation and distribution of spatial information corresponding to a mono or stereo archival recording in a real space. This month, he shows how early and late parts of room impulse responses can be combined using a simple windowing technique with a variable transition point. Using objective and subjective evaluations, Custer proceeds to demonstrate the validity of his approach. In their paper on spectral delay filters, Vesa Valimaki, Jonathan Abel, and Julius Smith describe novel ways in which all-pass filter networks can be used to create unusual special effects. They explain that the perceived timbre of a sound can be changed even though the frequency content remains the same. Chirp-like sounds can be created by cascading a large number of such filters, which can be equalized and mixed with the original. It's suggested that this approach constitutes yet another form of sound synthesis. Sound engineers readily use dynamic range compression as a normal part of their professional activities, and such compression is also used by hearing aid designers. However, as Michael Stone and his colleagues show in this month's final paper, it can impede the perception of independent sound sources in a complex oral environment. When two simultaneous talkers presented keywords to normal-hearing young listeners, the recognition rate worsened considerably when compression was applied to the mixed signal. The increased cognitive load noted by the authors appears to imply that a greater-than-normal listening effort is required when excessive compression is applied. Standards news in this month's issue includes the latest information about timing and synchronization, loudspeaker and microphone measurements, audio connectors, grounding, and EMC practices. If you attended the 126th Convention in Munich earlier this year, see if you can find yourself in the pictures and reporting of this year's primary European audio gathering. You can also get up to speed on the forthcoming New York Convention that's being held from October 9th to the 12th by reading our convention preview. We're looking forward to seeing you there. Read Francis Rumsey's article on DTV audio myths at the back of this month's edition. Digital television audio has been the subject of many misunderstandings over the years, particularly concerning encoding standards, surround sound, and metadata for loudness control. A recent workshop panel chaired by Jim Kutzner of PBS chewed over these DTV myths and engaged in some selective myth-busting to clear up the misconceptions. John Krivet reports on the Society's education activities, and you can find reports of recent local AES meetings in our News of the Sections. If you want to see further reports of AES section activities, log in to the new website at www.aes.org/sections, where these are now available immediately after they are submitted. There's often a photo as well. It's a great way to get ideas for your local AES section and to keep up to date with what your colleagues in other parts of the world are doing. If you're not an AES member yet, join us. Visit aes.org/join. For the Audio Engineering Society, I'm Dr. Agnieszka Roginska. Thanks for listening.